Well, this morning we have a special visit. We actually had to talk to this person's publicity booking agent about 475 years ago. But we worked things out and scheduled him to be here with us today for Reformation Sunday. And so without further ado, let's welcome our special guest for today.
I was born in Saxony Province on the 10th of November, 1483, to Hans and Margareta Luther. They named me Martin. My family was better off than most, since my father left farming to become a supervisor of a half dozen copper foundries in Mansfield, taking charge of the miners and the smelters. He spent most of his time solving disputes between them. My parents were very strict. Once as a child, I took just a nut from the marketplace, and when my mother found it, she caned me until I bled. Growing up, I would ask myself often, am I a good person? As people in the 15th century, we were superstitious of mythology and nature. We believed in God, but we also believed in fairies, satyrs, sprites, mermaids, good and bad omens of nature, etc., etc. I was afforded a classical education, which focused on Latin. If we spoke German at school, we would have to wear a donkey head. Now, my father's intent was to educate me so that I might become a jurist, a lawyer, to help settle disputes between the workers in the mines and the foundries. This would also provide for my parents in their old age, as was the children's custom to do. I moved on to university and did well and became a master of arts. And my father gave me the book, The Corpus Juris, and called me Herr Luther. Such an honor. I was taken aback by the fact that my own father would call me Herr. However, in time, I became dissatisfied with his future. When I came home to tell my father, he was very angry. I had respect for him, but I was 21 years old and wanted to decide my own future for myself. On the way back to the university in Stotterheim, walking through the forest, my childhood mythology overcame me, and I imagined demons coming from the shadows and grabbing me by the hair of my head and dragging me down into the depths of hell. Donner boomed and blitz flashed all around me. I was a Furchtung, in terror of God and of nature, God being the eternal judge. I cried out, Saint Anne, save me, or I shall become a monk. Well, I was delivered from the forest and kept my vow to become a monk. Putting my affairs in order, I became a novice in the strict Reformed congregation of Augustinians in Erfurt. In the first year, I sought solace and peace. My confessor was Dr. Johann von Stauputz. He was kind and encouraging in his supervision. I threw myself into my duties. If a monk could find his way to heaven by his monkery, it would be me. I dearly loved the music and would sing the Benedictus, the Sanctus, and the Magnificat, which was my favorite. I continued working feverishly to try and please God. Then it finally came time for my very first Mass. My father was there, and he told me, this call of yours could be of Lucifer. During the Mass, as I held up the host, again I was a Furchtung, as if God was trying me, the devil was pulling me down, and all doubt, turmoil, pang, tremor, and despair were upon me all at once. There is no word in English for this. I thought to myself, who am I that I should lift up mine eyes or raise my hands to the divine majesty? And shall I, a miserable little pygmy, say, I want this, I ask for that, for I am dust and ashes and full of sin, and I am speaking to the living, the eternal, true God? As time went on, I was not yet convinced that I was a good person. One sin left unconfessed could be my undoing. I worked harder than any of the other monks. I prayed more prayers. I confessed more sins. Von Staupitz told me not to work so hard on making the other monks look bad. I fasted for days at a time. I beat myself and deprived myself. I was told by the confessor to stop coming to confession for hours at a time, but to wait until I had something more meaningful to confess, not just all these little peccadillos, he said. In despair, I wished I was never born. Love God? I hated him! I was constantly condemned by my own conscience and could not find peace. Later, I was chosen by my cloister to go to Rome because of my past studies as a jurist. The journey was over 800 miles on foot. As I traveled, I imagined glorious Rome. When I arrived, I saw priests taking in prostitutes, other priests giving Latin mass as quickly as possible in order to keep a quota, and saying, "Bread you are and bread you shall remain, wine you are and wine you shall remain." Such mockery! Where there was a church, Satan also had a chapel. If there was a hell, Rome was built upon it. I was told to climb Pilate's stairway on my hands and knees, saying the Paternoster and kissing each step all the way to the top in order to attain a short purgatory for my grandfather. When I reached this top, I stood and I said, "Who knows whether it is so?" When I left Rome for Germany, I was doubting and disillusioned. Upon my return to Erfurt, I was despairing and sinking into the depths of hell. Dr. von Staupitz was retiring as theology professor and wanted me to teach theology in his place. After a dozen excuses, I finally said, "If I was to do this, I would die." Von Staupitz responded, "Well, God needs many hard workers in heaven as well." Little did I know, this would lead to my salvation. At the very small University of Wittenberg, I received my first Bible. Monks did not have this. Priests did not have the Bible. Not even my students. For they were very hard to come by. There were so few. Each one was handwritten just one at a time. I studied God's word voraciously for my own self and also to teach the students. While studying Paul's letter to the Roman church, I read these words: "The righteous shall live by faith." Nothing else? Sole fide? Faith alone? Paul also wrote that grace and faith are gifts which cannot be earned or deserved. And Paul tells Titus that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, we are saved. I was undone. I had been trying to make myself good enough for God, and my conscience kept saying, "You have failed." So, by faith alone, I surrendered myself to Christ Jesus, believing his suffering, death, and resurrection was for my salvation. God no longer was the righteous judge sitting on the rainbow. He was the forgiving Father, and I had received the righteousness of Christ. Now I was free. Free to help others, both in truth and in deed. No longer focusing on myself. After this time, a monk named Johann Tetzel was visiting our area. I came to find out he was selling indulgences which was intended to buy a person out of purgatory. It was said, when a coin in Tetzel's coffer rings, another soul from purgatory springs. I was outraged. This was extortion. And for what? To put more buildings in pagan Rome? Does the Pope know this? Does he condone this? I had learned other things from God's word where I saw the teachings in Rome were false. Did the Pope know of these? I set about writing a list of topics for debate to have with other learned men. 95 theses in all. Now, it has come to my attention that there has been debate amongst many in this time as to whether I nailed my theses on the Wittenberg chapel door or mailed them to my archbishop, or whether I did both. This is not important. Whether I nailed them or mailed them should remain a mystery of history. The important thing is that unbeknownst to me at the time, Gutenberg had invented the printing press. What could take years to write out by hand could be reproduced very quickly, many times over. One of my students brought me a copy of my thesis. I had not written this. It was not in my hand. It had been printed on one of these printing presses and distributed without my permission. This was amazing. I was going to have to take advantage of this printing press. Little did I know of the trouble before me. During my life, I have written and printed over 150 books and papers. Many of these publications made Pope Leo X angry, and he had them burned. I had been protected by King Frederick the Wise of Germany since I was popular with the German people. While teaching at Wittenberg, I received a papal bull excommunicating me from the Roman Church for the sacrilege of heresy. Now was the time to act. I took this bull of my excommunication and I burned it in public and proclaimed, since they excommunicate me, I excommunicate them in the name of the sacred truth of God. Christ will judge whose excommunication will stand. When the Pope heard of this, I was called to denounce my writing and recant my beliefs or suffering burning at the stake. I could not recant. I prayed that God would help me stand this trial. After many hearings, I argued my case before Emperor Charles. Finally, before the Emperor, the Inquisitor, and Lords, I answered plainly. Since then, Your Majesty and Your Lordships desire a simple reply, I answer this elf without horns and without teeth. Unless I am convicted by Scripture on plain reason, I cannot accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen. During the comings and goings to the trial, I was kidnapped and secretly taken to Wartburg Castle. Most people thought me dead. I was disguised and hidden away in a secret room and allowed to translate the New Testament into common German for common people, not just kings, princes, and priests. Later, I also wrote hymns in German so that farmers and cobblers, housewives, and children could sing to God while about their daily employments. If time permitted, I would also speak of how I tried to stop anti-Roman Catholic mobs from harming and destroying churches and hurting priests. How priests were given German Bibles and taught to understand God's truth. How we rescued nuns who wished to join the Reformation, one of which I married, Katharina von Bora, my dear Katie. And how we catechized our six children. And how I prayed with tears over my dear daughter Magdalena, who died at age 13. And my disgust when the protesting church in Germany took the name Lutheran. I said, do not call yourself by my sinful name. You are Christians. Luther was not crucified for you. If you remember nothing else I have said, remember this. Salvation comes by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. So much more I could say, but I say now this one last thing. There are those who claim that I, Martin Luther, started the Protestant Reformation. I do not believe this is true. I was only studying God's word and obeying it. The Holy Spirit started the Protestant Reformation.